The sermon today really is about justice and mercy. All right, in keeping with the whole theme that we've had during this month of peace. And I'm going to be using a story from Esther in the Old Testament. Esther and her cousin Mordecai. Well, Esther was hoping that Mordecai could give her a hand, because the Jewish population was going to be eliminated, and she was really going to do her best to stop it. And that's where the lesson goes. It's one that is a good story, and it's a hard story for kids. It's a hard story for adults to try to fathom. But yet, when we read the headlines, what's going on now in our world, it's not so difficult to envision hate and ugliness going on among people. All right? So, if you'll open your Bibles to the Old Testament, and that's the one before the New Testament, and if you'll open them to page 492, 493, we're looking at the seventh chapter. I'm using the first six verses there. I'm going to use verses 9 through 10, and then I'm going to skip over to the ninth chapter for a couple of verses there. So, it's a little bit complicated, but not really, not too bad. I was reminded when I read this lesson, when I was in New Jersey, I got involved with a Citizens Reform for Education. That was the name of it. Because the school board was getting rid of some teachers, one of which was my son's second grade teacher. And for no good reason, other than she was a Presbyterian, but Irene was a wonderful teacher. And everybody got mishmushed, and they really were mad, and they came to the preacher and they said, "What are we going to do? Can you do anything about it? This is an injustice to our community." Well, I called a couple of other preachers and up and down the street, and the kids walked out of school, and we marched through town on a day, and that was the one time I did march. Boy, did I march. Then we went that night to a public hearing in the high school auditorium, which was filled, and I gave some remarks, which were gems, on the injustice of getting rid of someone. Well, guess what? We won. And eventually the school board was replaced, which was a good thing. They'd been there too long and did nothing for teachers. And I thought, well, there's an injustice. I thought about that, and I thought, well, I'll tell you another story some other time. Anyway, we have to read ahead, and we look at these leaders, and we try to comprehend what was going on at the time of Esther and Mordecai. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and they were drinking wine on that second day. The king again asked, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people, the Jews. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold for destruction and slaughter and annihilation. We'd merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, 'Who is he? Where is the man who's dared to do such a thing?' And Esther said, 'The adversary and enemy is this vile Haman.' And then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A gallows 75 feet high stands by Haman's house." He had it made for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman on the gallows he'd prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided somewhat. Going to the 9th chapter, you'll see that they're talking about this wonderful celebration of Purim in the Jewish faith. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Amen. Now I want you to imagine Queen Esther sitting on her throne and receiving a message from her cousin Mordecai. That's in the earlier part, if you read the entire book, that pretty soon every Jew in that empire, every Jew was going to be killed. Now, that was Persia. Now it's known as Iran. But every Jew was there, was going to be eliminated. So you see, their fuss right now is same. It's been going on since forever. The annihilation of Jews. Iranians don't like them. He was asking her to intercede through her husband, the king, to stop this insanity, this travesty of humanity. His reasoning was that she was queen for such a time as this. For such a time as this. And that was going to be her responsibility. Now, Mordecai was really riled up, and he wanted a change. And he wanted this change, and he thought Esther could make it possible. All she had to do was tell the king what she wanted to happen. Not just her life, but the life of her people. Now, the present time has created indignation on my part. I'm frustrated as all get out over trashy advertising that targets people of all ages with cheap, unhealthy food and medications you really don't need. I'm really upset about this, and I say it to Barbara, and I'm glad we have a mute button on that remote. I'm angry over CEOs who are making millions while paying employees less than a living wage. I'm perplexed over our praise of politicians who use racism and bigotry as excuses for poor leadership. Maybe it's time for change at such a time as this on the part of every single one of us. The ministry of Jesus Christ involves more than preaching. It involves more than teaching and speaking comforting words to people anywhere. Saint Teresa of Avila, and I was reminded of that when the Pope was talking this week, of all things. He sounded more Calvinistic, by the way, than some of our preachers. She wrote, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he works to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Christ has no other body but yours. The pain and victory of the cross compels us, I think, to stick our necks out for the sake of our neighbors. We are called to issue justice. That's why I said I was reminded of the time when they were asking me, can you do anything about a teacher in Millville, New Jersey? Can you do anything about self-righteousness promoting itself as patriotism? Can you do anything? I believe we're called to speak the truth in love, to listen, to give, and to support the good work others are doing in love. The kids did yesterday. And Joan reminded us of that. Divine providence is still at work through us to help a world that struggles with itself over and over again. Most remarkable thing in the world was to see the multitudes of people who were there crowding to get a glimpse of a Brazilian priest. And I know they weren't all Catholic. But he was a symbol of hope, a symbol of decency, a symbol of Christian love. And the words he spoke were scriptural. I don't care who denies it. Reminding us that we have all this same responsibility as he was exhibiting and is even at this moment in Philadelphia. Recognized or not, we live, move, and have our being in the very presence of God, a God who thunders into us if we can just be open to that feeling that God is still in charge, touching our lives to encourage our living for one another in better ways than we've ever done before. He calls us right here and right now to step up and step in, just like Esther did. Just like Esther did for such a time as this. I want you to take a look around you when you leave the church. I want you to look around at your world the way it is. Not just Bartow, but the big picture. Isn't it time for change? Honest, loving, hopeful change. Hospitality begins with hearts and minds and lives that are open to God's transforming presence. Just like the times of old, just like that, God may come among us, surprising us in ways that he's always surprised people. Unannounced. Unannounced. When we place conditions on the worthiness of merit of those we will welcome and limit our own openness to the Spirit of God working in us, and the Spirit's power and presence, our focus is more on rules and rituals than on relationships and righteousness. Amen. Pray with me. Creator God, help us to be truly a welcoming community here in McLeod, where everyone belongs. Help us to set aside fears of differences, to find our common ground in Jesus Christ. Open our hearts and our minds to truly be a welcoming community of faith. Amen.